Taste of Ireland with Visit Belfast. It's time to uncover Belfast, a city alive with arts, music, festivals and world-class attractions. Visit Belfast.com.
On Dublin's easy place to relax.
Sunshine 106.8. Sunshine 106.8.
And you're very welcome to A Taste of Ireland this evening, coming to you from Belfast, continuing our Belfast Uncovered series. And I'm delighted to be joined by Eimear Carney, the Head of Marketing for Titanic Belfast. Eimear, lovely to see you again.
Thanks, Ed. It's great to see you.
Well, 10 years. Oh my God, unbelievable. Celebrating 10 years. I remember the first time I came up when this opened here. It was amazing in 2012. I can't believe it's been 10 years, Eimear.
And you and me both, Ed. I've been working with Titanic Belfast since just before the opening, and the 10 years has flown. But yes, 10 years on the 31st of March. So it's been a whirlwind, but such a success story for Belfast.
In terms of numbers, to give people an idea, how many people have been through the door since you opened?
We've welcomed about 6.5 million people, and that's from over 145 different countries around the world. It just shows how much people are fascinated by the Titanic story. The people travel all over to Belfast, and they want to come to Belfast because that is where the Titanic story belongs. That's where it all began.
And Eimear, I suppose, going back to the very sad event, the date would have just passed back in 1912. It was April the 14th, wasn't it?
Yes, so this year marks the 110th anniversary of the sinking. And although we have much to celebrate in what was achieved in our first 10 years, we always have to remember that this is a tragic story and a tragic event. And we have to ensure that we get the balance of celebration, but also the commemoration.
Just to bring people back, Eimear, I suppose, to the amazing the engineering feat of building this. Just give people an idea, back in the day, how long did it take to build? How many people were involved? I mean, this was massive around the world, wasn't it, when Titanic was launched?
Yeah, Titanic at the time was the largest man-made moving object in the world. And for it to be built in Belfast was a huge achievement. So Titanic was ship number 401. So in Harland and Wolff, there was 400 ships that came before Titanic, and then there was thousands that came after. So it's only really what happened to Titanic that made it so famous. It was just another ship in the shipyard. But at the time, it was a huge ship, and it was part of the White Star Line, which was really the luxury that hadn't been seen before. But Titanic Belfast is located exactly where that shipyard, the ship was located, on the slipways just outside our building. And thousands of men would have worked there every day. The ship took, it's actually got real synergies with the Titanic Belfast story as well. The ship would have taken about 4 years to build the superstructure. So that's the steel structure that would have been built on the slipways outside our building. The ship then on the 31st of March went into the water, and it would have travelled round to the Thompson Dry Dock, where the ship would have been fitted out. So that's where everything from the decks and the funnels to the staircase to the cabins, everything went into the ship. And that took about a year. And Titanic Belfast was very similar. To build the structure, the famous Titanic Belfast building with all the shards and the shape like the hulls of the ship, that took about 4 years. And to fit everything then inside, all the exhibitions and everything that people come to enjoy, that took about a year. So the synergies with the two stories is actually quite it's quite interesting.
It is, isn't it amazing? And I mean, I remember when I came up in 2012, when it was launched, when everything was opened, even beside it there, they still had the building where all the draftsmen used to work and where all the plans, everything was drawn. Of course, now, again, a few years later, became an amazing, beautiful hotel, Titanic Belfast, the hotel there as well. But the whole area there has been transformed. And the history of there, of course, you have the SS Nomadic as well, which would have been, for people that know, this would have been the small boat that would have taken people out in Cherbourg, wouldn't it?
Yes, so SS Nomadic's the last remaining White Star Line ship. So she was built at exactly the same time as Titanic. And you're quite right, she was the tender ship for Titanic. So in Cherbourg, the dock wasn't deep enough for the main Titanic ship to go in. So they built a mini Titanic. So Nomadic is known as Titanic's little sister. She's exactly a quarter the size, a quarter shorter in length. She has one funnel instead of four. She has she's split out in terms of the first and second class and the third class. And you can see just how inside Titanic that there would have been real similarities between Titanic and Nomadic. So SS Nomadic is docked right beside the Titanic Belfast building. And when people visit, that's part of their experience and part of their ticket. So they can explore Titanic Belfast and everything it has to offer, but then step on board the original ship and see that real piece of heritage.
I mean, it's incredible how they managed to get that, to find it, wasn't it? Because, I mean, it was, I think it was a working ship, wasn't it, for years?
Yes, Nomadic has a real checkered history, and she obviously served for the maiden voyage of Titanic, but she then served as a tender ship for lots of the big cruise lines. So she's had lots of famous passengers, from Elizabeth Taylor to Charlie Chaplin. So she's had her history with the cruise liners as a tender ship, but she also then spent approximately 30 years on the Seine in Paris as a restaurant. She was a nightclub at one stage, and she's really had a very checkered past. But whenever the ship was available to come back to Belfast, the city really felt that they needed to bring Nomadic back to where she belonged as the last remaining White Star Line ship. So there was a lot of work and a lot of fundraising to get that preservation of Nomadic. So she has been back in Belfast and with Titanic Belfast since about 2015.
Yeah, and I have to say that if anyone, you know, when you do the exhibition, I mean, it is absolutely a must-see to go and see the Nomadic. Even the bathrooms and the fittings and everything, the original, I mean, they look amazing. It's and you can get that sense of decadence there as well. You said the different classes. It's super the way it's been restored lovingly.
Yes, and things like the original bar are still there, so you can see in the first class passenger area what it would have been like to have gone on and maybe ordered yourself a glass of champagne as you were heading out to Titanic. So it's just lovely to be able to really see that piece of history and just imagine what it would have been like, because famous characters, most famous from, of course, the Titanic movie, like Molly Brown, she boarded Titanic in Cherbourg, so she would have been on SS Nomadic.
Yeah, of course, fascinating stuff. And that's another thing, I suppose, about when you look at the history, it does have that, it totally has captured the imagination up here, I mean, in terms of what has been recreated. And when you see the different cabins, it brings it all to life. And even at the end, when you see the glass and, you know, where she's resting, I mean, it's eerie, but it's just amazing the way it's been recreated. It's fantastic.
Yeah, Titanic Belfast, we want to tell, and it's our duty really to Titanic to tell her whole story. So most people know about the sinking because of the movie, and the movie really is based around just that part of the story, but we want to tell everything that came before that and then everything that came after. So life on board the ship is a huge part of the story before the sinking. So you're right, there's recreations of the first class luxury suites. There's the second and third class cabin. You can go into, we call it the cave, where you stand still and you're surrounded on three sides by visuals of what it would have been like to have been in different parts of the ship. So you start down in the boiler rooms, you then move up through the second, third class, right up to the top of the ship. And it's really to give people a sense of what would have been inside Titanic. She was a huge vessel. But it's really just about giving people that. It's not a museum, it's about giving them that experience that makes them feel part of the Titanic story. So from seeing what life would have been like on board, you then experience the sinking gallery where everything is much more somber, and you learn about the passengers and what would have happened to them, right round to, as you said, where Titanic is today. So you get to see exclusive footage that Dr. Ballard, who was the man who discovered Titanic, footage that him and his team have taken of the wreck, but also thousands of photographs that they had taken that are all stitched together underneath the glass floor, so you can stand above what Titanic actually looks like today. So if you were a diver floating over the top of Titanic today, that's exactly what you would see. So it's about bringing the story to life, making the story more about just the sinking. It was a tragedy what happened, but there was so much achieved in Belfast before that with the building of the ship, and then obviously we have the story of Titanic today, where she lies.
I mean, listening to that there, I mean, recreating it, it's amazing, the actual sense of the magnitude of it. And I mean, when you do actually go in, you do feel that you're immersed in it. I mean, and that is very, very clever the way that they've done that.
Yeah, and lots of people love the story for different reasons. There's just an obsession with Titanic across the world, and Titanic Belfast, the number of visitors we get really is testament to that. But people love different parts of the story. Some people love it for the romance and, you know, the Jack and Rose and, you know, the people that were on board, and, you know, they want to really know about those personal stories. Some people love it for the engineering and, you know, what was achieved. Some people just love it for the history of, you know, of that period. And I think just across all sort of genres and demographics, people really take something from it. I think we have something very special because kids enjoy it as much as the older generations and everything in between. So we're very fortunate in that way.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, it is something that's really iconic, I suppose, in here in Belfast, when you see, you have Samson and Goliath, you know, people know the Harland and Wolf, the iconic yellow cranes that are there. And then you have the beautiful, I mean, as you said, it's the actual replication of the front of the ship, which is incredible, isn't it? I mean, and just this exact same height.
Yeah, it's the exact same height as the steel superstructure would have been on the slipways. And we actually, to mark our 10th anniversary, we actually have an exhibition at the minute that is free for people to go to in the Andrews Gallery, and it's about the people who built Titanic Belfast. So it's a photographic exhibition of all the images we captured when the building was being built, and it focuses on the design of the building and how that came about. So the concept architect for Titanic Belfast was a man called Eric Coon, and within the exhibition you can see him doing his sketches and, you know, the ideas of how he came up with the shape of Titanic Belfast. So it's lots of different ideas brought together. It's the hulls of four ships. It represents how the Titanic, Olympic and the Britannica, her sister ships, all would have looked sitting side by side on the slipways. It represents the different stages of shipbuilding, from the steel, the aluminium, the wood, and the different phases. But also, it's a bit like an iceberg, and the shards in the building with the water pools around the bottom, they show the reflections, and, you know, that they sort of bring out that what it would have been like on the 14th of April in 1912. And of course, from above, because of the four hulls, the building looks like a star, and it was, of course, the White Star Line ship. So if you're flying over the top of the building, it looks like a star. So the exhibition is really fascinating, just about how Titanic Belfast actually came about in the first place. And then, of course, you can explore it whenever you're there.
That brings us on nicely to your first choice of music this evening, Emer. What have you chosen for us?
I have chosen Everlasting Love, and the song that I've picked is also one that features in Kenneth Branagh's Belfast movie, which of course won an Oscar.
Yes, a super shiny Oscar for Belfast, and he said such lovely things about it at the ceremony. Wasn't it great?
Yes, it was fantastic, and it's great just for Belfast to get another plug on a global scale.
A taste of Ireland with Visit Belfast. It's time to uncover Belfast, a city alive with arts, music, festivals and world-class attractions. Visit Belfast.com.
On Dublin's easy place to relax.
Sunshine 106.8. Sunshine 106.8.
You're very welcome back to A Taste of Ireland this evening. I'd like to say, Emer, that Titanic has probably been, along with Game of Thrones, one of the most fabulous things that happened to Belfast, isn't it, really, in a way? And I know that there's the sad side, of course, and a very tragic story. But isn't it amazing what it's done now? 430 million revenue, I think, pounds, that's what it's brought in. Is that correct?
Titanic Belfast really has been a game changer for tourism in Northern Ireland. Obviously, we've always had tourism, but the opening of Titanic Belfast brought it to a new level. To mark our 10th anniversary, we commissioned an economic report in terms of the wider impact that Titanic Belfast has had. So obviously the business has had 6.5 million visitors. It's created phenomenal revenue for the business itself, but it's also been calculated that it's contributed an additional 430 million into the Northern Ireland economy in its first 10 years. So that's everything from people who came to Titanic Belfast and stayed in hotels, they used taxis, they ate in restaurants. So it's that wider impact that Titanic Belfast has had beyond its own successful revenue.
Amazing. And I mean, since you're going back the last 20 years, I suppose you've seen huge changes here, Emer, in the city. And I mean, it's amazing, isn't it, how, I suppose, out of conflict, this amazing, now like world-class sort of edgy city has been created, which has so much to offer, really, doesn't it?
Belfast is unrecognisable from what it was 20 years ago. It's such a fun, dynamic city. I think people just have such a passion to make Belfast work, and they just want people to come and they want them to enjoy it and they want them to see the city that they love. I think Titanic Belfast has probably played a big part in that, because I suppose even we talked earlier about the synergies between the original Titanic story and Titanic Belfast in terms of the building itself, but the story as well. Like, people didn't talk about Titanic. Whenever Titanic sank, people of Belfast didn't talk about it. They were ashamed because they felt it was built in our shipyard and it sank. It must have been our fault. So nobody talked about Titanic until Titanic Belfast and the idea for creating this this visitor attraction that would celebrate what was achieved in Belfast. And the Belfast city is a bit the same. We didn't talk about ourselves in the way we should have because of our past and things we didn't we weren't proud of. But now people are really happy to talk about Belfast the same way we're happy to talk about Titanic. We've got great stories to share. We've got great people to welcome people to our city. And I think it's a really good time for us bringing back all the tourists after the pandemic and things. The city's ready.
And that was something as well, I think, that a lot of people, in fact, that had never been up to Belfast when COVID happened, of course, and when Belfast opened up here, your restaurants and your bars opened up and the whole place was flooded with visitors from the south. And I mean, that was something that really resonated with them, I think, as well, that they realised, wow, you know, you've got this. I mean, aside from, you know, Titanic, you had all these beautiful restaurants here, the bars, the music, I mean, the festivals. It seems to be so much. And I know it was interesting the way that came about. It was actually, it was a very positive side of the COVID, really, I suppose, in one way.
It was. I think Belfast, you're right, there seems to be a festival on every other weekend. You know, there's always something happening, and lots of people, I think, sort of reflected on what they did, and there was suddenly new restaurants popping up and new bars popping up, and, you know, just a new energy for the city. And I think people from the Republic, you know, maybe hadn't ventured this far before. They'd maybe explored everything that the other provinces had to offer, but suddenly Northern Ireland became part of their radar, and we welcomed so many visitors from down south over the COVID years, staycations, and they loved it. They really did. We were doing our figures for our first 10 years in business the other day, and 25% of our visitors over the past 10 years have come from the Republic of Ireland. So it just shows what a draw Titanic Belfast is, but there's so much more to explore when you're here. A lot of our visitors from the Republic would have maybe done day trips and jumped in the car and come up, because of course it's only 2 hours outside of Dublin, but I think people are now extending their stays, and they're staying in the hotels. They're maybe going up to the North Coast or going down to the Fermanagh Lakelands and really making a trip of it.
Yeah, no, totally. And I was just doing some filming around recently, and we did some amazing new stuff. I was painting up in Port Rush, and I was sailing in Belfast Lock, and, you know, again, Fermanagh taste tours. And but just like, there's always so many new things happening. The food explosion really in the Mourns here, and kind of in Belfast, the restaurants now and the quality of them, it really has, the whole place has really taken off. And what's really interesting is when you look back, do you think the decision, I mean, it was obviously a major decision to create Titanic Belfast, but like, what a kind of a brainwave, what an amazing thing to come up with. I suppose it probably took years, was it, to plan it and to actually get the green light for it all?
Yes, well, Titanic, we had a global brand that everybody knew. Everybody knew Titanic, and we weren't capitalising on it. There was Titanic museums and things to do all over the world, but nothing in Belfast. So I think the heads came together, and it was a bit of a no-brainer. We needed to do something to mark the fact that Belfast was the home to Titanic. But it took a lot of work, and it was a public and private collaboration. So it really is testament to when we want things to happen, how we can make things work. So a lot of public money went into building the building, because we could see what the return would be if it was successful. But also there was private money that went in as well to make it happen. So I think it was a no-brainer for Belfast, and I think it was the catalyst to see, and now that we also know the additional money that Titanic Belfast has generated for the wider economy, it now is a great case study for how other projects could be approached and how other things could also benefit the wider economy, not just that one area. So Titanic Belfast really sort of spurred a lot of other investment on. Even as you mentioned earlier, the Titanic Hotel next door, Titanic Belfast, since it opened, has inspired £60 million worth of wider heritage investment within Titanic Quarter. So the refurbishment of the Titanic Hotel, the refurbishment of SS Nomadic, we have the Great Light, the Thompson Dock and the HMS Carrot. There's lots happening in Titanic Quarter as a result of Titanic Belfast.
Yeah, I mean, just one of the things, I mean, we just go off Titanic for a second, I suppose. You mentioned HMS Caroline there. Now, this is an incredible ship, and it was one of the last remaining warships. If you just tell people, I think this is something that everybody should see as well, and I know it's opening up again now soon.
HMS Caroline is located just in Titanic Quarter, and it's a fabulous ship. It was an original ship used in the Battle of Jutland, and when you get on, you feel, well, I feel anyway, like I'm literally on a warship. It's got all of the little staircases that you go up and down. You can see the mess where the sailors would have been. You can see everything that ship would have been like whenever it was in full use. It's fantastic. It's a great addition to the Titanic Quarter and to Belfast, and kids love it. Kids just love, you know, going out on the deck and seeing what, you know, firing cannons or what it would have been like. And of course, you're looking out over Belfast Lock. So hopefully, yes, HMS Caroline will be opening again soon ahead of high season.
Yeah, and what was amazing about it was, as you said there, I mean, you get to, again, what's really lovely, and I think a lot of people are looking now for experiences, you get to go, you see the hammocks, and, you know, some guys, the sailors slept in the hammocks, then you're taken around the captain's, you know, the captain's cabin with his little writing desk, and you know,
and where he was drinking wine and brandy, and
it's just, I mean, it was unbelievable. Yeah. the difference, I suppose, wasn't it really? And but it makes you, it shows you those times, you know, just there was just such a class system, wasn't there? But again, really fast ship, one of the fastest warships kind of on the sea, and it was up in Jutland, of course. And you know, the steel there, I mean, it was just so cold, you know, I mean, this big massive, and how they kept warm, but just the whole inventiveness of it, and the different era, and the way the food is even done, and they show you everything. Again, the thing I loved about Titanic, I've been to the exhibition, I suppose, five times, and I love to just wander around and do the guided tour, of course, but then kind of I love to go back and just read a lot of stuff, because even things like mad statistics, like how many eggs were used every day, how much, you know, all the different produce, how they fed everybody, the musicians, like the grandeur of it is amazing. And I remember we had a lovely afternoon tea. And of course, it was all the different themed food, you know, you ran the theme through it of what people would have had when they were on the ship. And I think that's a lovely idea.
Yeah, afternoon tea was so popular. We deliver it in the Titanic suite in front of the Titanic staircase, which of course people love from the film primarily. We haven't started afternoon tea again after the pandemic, but we have great plans for the autumn to bring it back again. But you're right, it's like being in the Palm Court restaurant, which is where afternoon tea would have been served on Titanic, and you're sitting with the luxury and the opulence, and we have taken the original Titanic menu and really tried to recreate that for today's palate.
And if anyone likes scones, or we say scones up here maybe, I've had the best cherry scones in the cafe in Titanic. Now, that's very good food there as well, Emer.
You're
very
a great ambassador priced for that cafe.
No, but
yes.
I do love a good scone now, I have to say. But like, that was really, really, like, wherever you source those from. Again, of course, but that really, I can highly recommend it. I know it's not afternoon tea, right? But it's a close second at the moment anyway.
Yes, absolutely. The cafe's open, and we're reopening our pantry actually as well. Shortly ahead of high season, and it will have even more goodies for everybody to enjoy whenever they come.
Brilliant. What have you chosen, Emer, for us for your second piece of music this evening?
Well, one of my favourite visitors to Titanic Belfast has been Rod Stewart, so I thought we'd have a wee bit of Maggie May.
At Taste of Ireland with Visit Belfast. It's time to uncover Belfast, a city alive with arts, music, festivals and world-class attractions. Visit Belfast.com.
On Dublin's easy place to relax.
Sunshine, 106.8. Sunshine, 106.8.
And you're very welcome back to A Taste of Ireland, coming to you this evening from Belfast with our Belfast Uncovered series, and delighted to be joined by Emer Carney here. Emer, you've just made me aware of the fact that I'm a Titanorak.
Yes, you know an awful
never
lot about that ship.
I was never going to admit that.
you're a closet fan. I know you've been up lots of times, but I think
Yeah, I'm an old romantic at heart, you see. An old romantic. Emer, for people, just to give them an idea that haven't done the experience yet or the Discovery Tour, let's just run them through the experience from when you arrive, what actually, you know, what you encounter. And I know we touched on it a little bit earlier, but just in terms of how long it takes and what you experience.
Okay, so when you arrive at Titanic Belfast, the Titanic experience is 9 interactive galleries, and it takes you through the story of Titanic chronologically. So you'll first go into Boomtown Belfast, and that's where you learn all about, it really sets the scene for why Titanic was built in Belfast. So it's all about the Industrial Revolution, the history of the city, and why Belfast was such a famous port. It was one of the biggest ports in the world at the time, and why Titanic was built there. Belfast was a hardy city at the time, and thousands and thousands of men worked in the shipyard. Generations worked in the shipyard. It was just, you know, as soon as you were old enough to work there, that's just automatically where a lot of the men of the city went. But people came from all over Ireland to work in Harland and Wolff as well. So within the experience, we really want to set out the scene of what was happening in Belfast at the time. Because, of course, the rope works, the tobacco industry, the linen industry, Belfast was really booming. So there's everything going on in the city, but it's also about telling what was going on in the shipyard. So the next gallery you move into is the shipyard itself, and you'll see the beautiful vaulted ceiling that you mentioned of the drawing offices. So that's the first place you come to, where the ship was designed. And it's a real interactive area here, because it's blueprints of the ship. So like you'll be able to stand and interact with the plans of where all the cabins were, the plans of where all the propellers were and the rivets. And this is something the kids love. You can count the rivets and you're running around and stamping them out and things. So it's bringing the shipyard to life. From there, you'll go around the corner and we have a recreation of what the gantry crane would have been like. So because Titanic was the largest man-made moving object in the world at the time, it had to have a crane that was big enough to go up one side, over the top and down, and that was known as the Arrel gantry. So here, there's a recreation of what one of the legs of that Arrel gantry would have looked like. But it's only a third of the height it actually would have been. So you'll go up in the lift as if you're going to your day's work in the shipyard up to the top, and you'll be able to look down and see what the men would have been experienced when they were at the top of the gantry. But they would have been three times higher up.
Yeah, and that's not for the faint-hearted.
Absolutely not. And there's about 8 boards, wooden planks that you will walk along when you arrive. The men would have had one or two of those, and they would have been up three times the height on a quarter of the width of wood. And very little health and safety in those days.
Yeah, so no harnesses.
And you know yourself, Ed, Titanic quarter can get quite windy with the wind coming off the lock. So I think given the number of people who worked in the shipyard and the conditions they were working in, I think it was surprising how few people actually lost their lives, but they would have been very precarious conditions they were working in. So from here, you then move around the Arrel gantry and then you're into the shipyard ride. So this is like a little cable car ride that takes you through the shipyard, where you can see the sights and the sounds and the smells of what the men would have done. And kids love this, adults love it, everybody loves it. It just gives you a real sense of what it would have been like to have been there. And you'll then move on to launch day. So the third gallery is all about when Titanic was first launched from the slipway into the water. You're looking out the window at the exact location where that actually happened. So it really gives you the sense of place and why Titanic Belfast is located where it is, because nowhere else in the world, you can read about it in other places in the world, but you can't see that exact spot. So you'll be there with the crowds and the celebrations. You'll hear all of the audio of this momentous day in Belfast, because of course it had been years in the making of Titanic, and for it to finally be launched into the water. There was 100,000 people that actually came on the day to see that happening. you'll then move into what we talked about in terms of the fit out of the ship and what you would see in terms of the cabins, and taking the tour through, you'll see crockery, because of course a lot of the stuff that went into Titanic was originally made in Belfast, and Titanic was expected to do thousands of journeys. So there was a lots of extra plates, extra crockery, all of that White Star branded things that would have gone on subsequent journeys that was in Belfast. So we have samples of what that crockery would have been. So you can see exactly what the first class passengers would have used in the ship. We then go on a journey through the maiden voyage, and it tells you all about what life was like on board. This really resonates with me because this is a series of lots of black and white photographs of what life was actually on board, or what life was like on board the ship, because there was a Jesuit priest called Father Brown who boarded the ship in Southampton, and he was intended to travel on the journey to New York, but he got a telegram to the ship to tell him that he should be studying, and he was instructed to get off Titanic again in Queenstown in Cork. So he got off the ship, luckily for him, because of the fate of what his fate would have been, you wouldn't know. But we now have thousands of photographs that he captured. He was a very keen photographer, and he captured lots of photos of people on the ship. So we can see children playing shuffleboard on the deck. We can see what life was like in the gym, people using the gym on board the ship. So that that gallery really sort of brings it to life in terms of what it was like on board.
Yeah, I must say that is amazing, to be honest, because that is, you're literally, you're back on the day and you're back on the ship. That is fantastic that you were able to get those.
Yes. Oh, it's such a great addition, because although Titanic Belfast is a visitor attraction and it's wants to bring the experience to life, we want people to see the original things as well. We want them to really experience, you know, what it really was like on board. So those photographs definitely do that. In that gallery, we also have a copy of the first class luncheon menu. So again, we at Titanic Belfast, we have an ethos that we don't take things from the seabed. So any artifacts and things that have been taken from the water isn't something that we would support. But we have a first class menu that one of the first class passengers had been dining, and she'd put it in her handbag whenever they were told they had to evacuate the ship. So we have that. So she was rescued in a lifeboat. So we do have things that visitors can enjoy that are part of that original story. But in terms of the experience, you then, everything is celebratory, you're on board and everything is good, and then suddenly the mood changes. So in Gallery 6 is the sinking gallery, and that's where the tone drops. You're suddenly in, it's much darker, you can hear the Morse code, you can hear the actual recreations of survivors. So those are original survivors' voices telling, reporting at the time what had happened. From there we then go down to the aftermath gallery, so the British inquiry and the American inquiry, because of course it was a British ship built in a British shipyard, but it was made with American money. So there's a battle over who's to blame, really, and it's quite interesting to see the different takes on it. You then travel through to what people know about Titanic today, and then through to where Titanic actually lies today. And those are the bits that we talked about earlier, about the footage of the wreck and the glass floor. So it really is everything about the Titanic story, not just the sinking. It's about, you know, everything that came before and everything that comes after.
Yeah, and that, it's lovely the way you describe it there, Eimear. And I think for people, when they do enjoy the experience, I mean, as you said, the cabins, you know, you look through the glass and it's like a window. You're looking in on the cabins from steerage to first class. And again, I mean, I think that is so interesting just to see. And all the way, as I said, the style they had and, you know, the different, as you said, the crockery and how the linens, but just the quality of everything. It was just, everything just was immaculate, wasn't it?
It was just a different world. Yeah. It was so luxurious. And within the cabins, so the glass cab, or the glass cases that we have the cabins recreated in, they're the exact dimensions that the different cabins would have been. The furniture is exact replicas of what the furniture would have been like. So I'm sure you've noticed the beds are tiny, you know. And
They were smaller people.
Yeah. And it's just fascinating. But even the third class cabin, like when you compare that to, you know, what you would maybe get on a ferry today, it was so luxurious, even though it was considered steerage. Like, for example, there's enamel sinks. They have fresh running water. Like, I don't think there's too many ferries now that you would get proper enamel sinks. And even the third class was luxurious. It was just a different class.
Absolutely. And of course, everyone will have heard of the Belfast Sink, won't they? Anyway, Eimear, just on the Discovery Tour then, for people, I suppose, when you go outside from the ship itself, just quickly, I suppose we could run through. That's very interesting as well.
Yeah, so this is an additional product we have, which is an outdoor walking tour. So the main experience is self-guided. So you do it by yourself and you spend as little or as much time as you want. The Discovery Tour is guided. It's a one-hour walking tour and it takes you through all of the heritage aspects outside. So you'll walk on the slipways and all of the different points of interest will be highlighted to you. It tells you all about the building and the architecture of the building and really all of the symbolism outside, because everything about Titanic Belfast and the area around it was so considered whenever the building was designed. For example, the benches outside are done in the SOS, the Morse code message that went out, and we have a map of the world that is in the stones around the building that, unless you know what you're looking at, you mightn't notice these things. So the Discovery Tour really points out all those things that real Titanoracs don't want to miss.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, really, really nice. And as I said, you get the whole scale of it, and that's really something interesting. The pump house is going to be made into a whiskey distillery, so that's kind of interesting. I think I saw the pump house as well in the original one, but again, a lovely addition. And of course, Belfast is making so many amazing, I mean, the whiskey tradition up here is fantastic as well. There's great tours you can do, so that'll be another addition. In terms of, and of course, we're celebrating the milestone birthday here. You were saying 6.5 million visitors earlier, 145 countries. I mean, it's a phenomenal story. I mean, you know, and I know that it's commercial, and then there's Maritime Belfast Trust involved. For the future now, we talked about the exhibition earlier, which is really nice. That's until the end of the April. The future, I suppose, is exciting.
It is. When we built the building, or when we opened the building, sorry, in 2012, there was the foresight that we would need to change things. Over the years, we would need to change things to keep up with trends, to keep Titanic Belfast on an international scale, and to make people have reasons to want to come back. So we have announced that we are going to be doing a multi-million pound redevelopment of the Titanic experience. It's so exciting. I can't tell you all the details, but it'll open in 2023, and it's going to be our most ambitious and our largest investment into the Titanic experience since we opened in 2012. So exciting times ahead, lots of new reasons to come back to Belfast or to visit for the first time, and we're really excited about it.
Yeah, it really is a wonderful story. And I mean, the unique public-private partnership, the way it was funded and the way it was done, it's an example really to, I think, a lot of places and a lot of countries, how you can do something, and the success is phenomenal. I can't wait for the afternoon tea to come back, Eimear, in the autumn, because that was a great, for me, that was a great, so I might book a little ticket for that, bring the mother up, which would be wonderful. Thanks so much for joining us this evening, by the way, and thank you so much for celebrating the 10 years and for bringing the whole experience to life for the listeners this evening. Eimear, really, really lovely. What have you picked for your last piece of music for us?
I don't think I could pick anything but Celine Dion, My Heart Will Go On.
Oh, she'll go on, so. Thanks a million, Eimear.
Thanks, Ed.